So after these words, we'll go straight into quiet worship, waiting worship. As soon as I finish, we will, instead of having a break, we'll go straight into that. And everybody knows what that is, I think. Everybody knows about the little yellow pamphlet and so forth. The scripture this morning is from Matthew 5, 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you salute only your brethren, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So I'm sure that many of us have thought about this last verse. You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. What does that mean? How can we come to grips with that? What is the New Testament writer Matthew trying to say to us? What is Jesus trying to say to us? Be therefore perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So that I thought I'd take a stab at furthering our understanding of what Jesus and the New Testament writers thought about when they were putting this in the scriptures. What were they urging believers to do or to be? So first I want to tell you a story that I hope might help in the furthering of our understanding of these verses in Matthew and elsewhere in the New Testament, which talks about becoming perfect. So a year ago, I was coming home from the American Friends Service Centennial in Philadelphia, which I attended with Dorothy. And I, as I was sitting on the plane, I happened to look at the in-flight magazine. It happened to be in the Southwest airline. And I was intrigued by the title of one of the stories, The Bully and the Buddhist. So I read this story, and I wanted to share it with you. The story starts with a young man named Eric, who had been bullied all his life by his classmate, Jeff. The whole thing started even in kindergarten, where Jeff stole Eric's truck and threw it in the bushes. I mean, it continued on from there throughout their whole school life through high school, where not only Eric was bullied, but many other of the classmates of Jeff were bullied, pushed around literally and figuratively. That Jeff was trying to show who was superior, and he made it known that he was the one. So when Eric became an adult, he heard that Jeff, who had been known to him as this bully all his life, had become a Buddhist monk. Eric was completely floored. What had happened to this man? What had transformed him from a bully to a Buddhist monk? Someone who started meditation classes, initiatives in free classes in prisons and homeless shelters and in the Veterans Administration. So Eric, who was a writer at that time, sought out his friend Jeff, the former bully. And Jeff told his story. He said that his turnaround started with his choice of fraternity when he entered college. He was going to choose a jock fraternity when a friend suggested a more positive choice. Beta Thai Pi, a group seeking to make positive changes, helping out in group homes for teenage girls, helping parents dealing with drug abuse. So that started him on a good road, but then, out of college, he got away from that. He got a good job, started partying, going to clubs, getting drunk every weekend. And then at age 27, he noticed feelings of emptiness, of dissatisfaction, and depression. So a friend recommended Buddhism. So Jeff tried it out. He loved going to the temple. He loved the warmth, the wisdom, and the morality. But then once again, life got in the way, and he went back to his former life of partying, going to clubs. Then after a while of continuing in this vein, Jeff had this intense experience. We Christians might call it a Damascus experience. Like Paul, who was blinded by Christ's light, and his whole life was turned around by the experience of seeing Jesus. In Jeff's experience, he had a 20-second flash forward of what his whole evening was going to be like as he waited for this club. He knew that he was going to pay too much to the doorman to sit in the VIP section, that he was going to drink way too much, chase women around all night, and in the morning feel like crap. So the whole evening played out exactly the way his vision showed it. He woke up the next morning with a wicked hangover, and he decided then and there he was going to go back to the temple. He started studying Buddhism, meditating, participating in volunteer programs. He said, they put me on a path to be as compassionate in each moment as possible. And Jeff went home on a mission to use the teachings to alleviate suffering. Now you may wonder, where am I going with this story, with a bully who turned to be a Buddhist monk? How does it relate to the scriptures? Be therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. First of all, I think we need to acknowledge and celebrate the power of God to transform anyone to a path of a caring, loving human being. As Quakers, we affirm that Jeff found and sought to follow the light of God. We can wholly embrace the path he chose, though we completely affirm a different road as Christ followers. As Christians, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And yet as Quakers, we affirm that the light is in every human being, no matter who they are. We affirm with all our mights and heart and minds and strength the beauty of the Christian life. Yet we affirm that others too, others who might affirm other faiths, Buddhism, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism. Anyone within every person is the light of God. Now, what about perfection? At the end of the story, Jeff quoted a Zen Buddhist monk, Shunryu Suzuki. This is what he said about perfection. Quote, "You are all perfect exactly how you are, and you all could use a little improvement." This just, wow. I read that over and over while I was in the plane. And then, unfortunately, I left the magazine there. But then I kept thinking that, coming back to it. What was that quote again? How did that go? How was the story going? So I contacted Southwest, and they sent me a digital copy of the story. And so I took notes and kept them for a year so that I could share them with all of you. As Jeff tells it, he was gifted with power and an intense desire to win. As a bully, he used his God-given power to hurt people, to lord it over them. As a Buddhist, he said, I knew I was still a powerful person, someone who wanted to win, but there's nothing to win in Buddhism. So I figured I'd use that part of my personality to make positive changes. After having affected people so negatively for so long, Buddhist teachings haven't changed who I am, but they've changed what I do. I believe this is very important. Buddhist teachings haven't changed who I am, but they changed what I do. I think we all need to discover our own God-given gifts. We can't be someone we're not. I wasn't gifted with blonde hair, perfect vision, and the abilities of a prima ballerina, which was one of my earliest desires. I realized later in life than I'd like to admit that I must discover and celebrate the gifts God has given me. As the psalmist says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's where the Buddhist saying rings true. We are perfect in the way God made us. We are made in the image of God. In the image of God, we are created. That's pretty perfect. Do we use our gifts to help people for the glory of God, or do we squander them and misuse them? In the scripture, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. The Greek word here is telios, which means ended or complete. So God has given us these gifts that we're born with. He has made us in his image. But as Christians, we're expected to grow into Christ's likeness. Be perfect, be complete, as Christ would have us to be. This resonates to me with a Buddhist quotation, you could all use a little improvement. We grow into where the Spirit calls us. We put on Christ, as Paul has said. This quotation from Matthew could be translated, be therefore complete as your heavenly Father is complete. Now you may have noticed when I read the scripture this morning that this verse comes in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And this verse comes after the exhortation to love your enemies. We have to grow into that ability. The Spirit of God needs to lead us into that ability. I don't think it happens overnight. The whole Sermon on the Mount gives us a picture of what the journey might look like, how we might grow into Christ-likeness. So we are given the gifts that God has given us. We are made in God's image. Those are good and perfect gifts. Discovering our gifts and using them is essential to our walk with Christ. And trusting in the Spirit of God that we can grow, we can become more complete as Christ would have us to be. We can become the person that God means each of us to be.